Hey everyone, this is Matt Hanks from Seymour Christian Church, and I want to thank you for listening to this message. My hope is through this message you are able to grow closer to Christ. Thanks for listening. So this week we're going to be looking over two different psalms. They're back to back. We're looking at Psalm 42 and 43. Now, I'm going to ask you guys a question real quick, and I want you guys to think about it for a second. What is something you can do now in your life that you can do now that you couldn't do when you were younger? Okay, think about that. It could be something that's silly. It could be something that's serious, but of something that you can do now that you couldn't do when you were younger. Who has an answer? Grayson. Ride your four-wheeler. So how old were you when you started riding four-wheelers?
Seven.
Yeah, so it took some, you had to learn how to do it, right? Okay, what else? Grace?
A roller coaster.
You had to get to a certain age or a certain height to be able to ride a roller coaster. Yep, Caroline?
Brush your teeth.
Yeah, for one, unless I'm wrong, you probably weren't born with teeth. Was she? Nope. So there you go. So you didn't even have teeth. So you weren't born, you know, brushing your teeth. Right. But I mean, even for us, we had to brush, like we brush bear's teeth because bear would see a toothbrush and probably try to eat it. So I'm assuming the same thing, that your parents had to brush your teeth for a while until you got used to knowing, oh, I got to brush my teeth. All right, Naomi.
Play games with friends.
Yeah. It took a while to do that, right? To know how to play games, what games to play, which, you know, friends, all that kind of stuff. Yep, Macy.
I have a question.
What's your question?
Who is Bear?
Bear is my son. Yeah. That's his middle name. His first name's Steven. Steven Bear. We just call him Bear. Yeah. Nope, not a dog. We don't brush our dog's teeth, even though that's not a bad thing.
We don't have a dog.
Yeah, we also don't have a dog. Yeah, that is, it does take some knowledge.
Yeah,
some experience.
Huh? Does it better than me.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Leah.
Race.
Yeah, so you do your racing and tying shoes. Everybody has to learn how to tie shoes, right? I bet everybody in here doesn't tie the shoes the same way. I still don't know how to tie shoes. That's why I wear Hey Dudes. So I'm just kidding. I know how to tie shoes. Laura looked at me like, that's concerning. Yes, Jenna. Drive. It takes a while to drive, right? You weren't born knowing how to drive as a baby. That would be terrifying if we saw that on the road, right? Just, right? So there are a lot of things that we do now that we couldn't do when we were younger. We had to learn how to do them. Why is it good for us, though, to be reminded of what we can do now that we couldn't do when we were younger? Why is it good for us to remember that I can do something now and I couldn't always do that? Why is that that a good thing, that we remember learning how to do that? Darlene.
Well, it teaches you that it's good to learn because you get knowledge and more ability.
Yeah.
Something else is possible that you can't do yet.
Yeah. It helps you remember that, hey, I had to learn how to do this, so I'm thankful for learning. But it also means I'm going to learn even more, right? How many can drive, how many of you guys can drive right now? I'm not saying that, like, legally. Macy, you cannot legally drive right now. You are not old enough, okay? You're not old enough either, all right? So all the adults in here, some of you maybe drive, and that's a little concerning, except for Aaliyah, because I know your dad. But I also wouldn't, you know, ride in the car with Aaliyah driving at this age. Sorry, Aaliyah. But that's something that you will learn, and you'll be thankful that you learned it. Maybe you won't necessarily be thankful who taught you. Not naming names in here or anything. Parents in here. Hey, I'm just saying, I did not like driving with my mom. Just going to be honest. She scared me. My dad was very chill. If I did something wrong, he would tell me about it later. My mom, she told me right away. By screaming. So
by screaming.
So it's a good thing for us to remember what we have learned, because it helps us to remember also how good God is, that God helped us get through certain situations. Maybe, you know, all these examples that we talked about were kind of silly, right? But think about some of the more serious things that we've been able to learn as we've gone through difficult things. God is the one that gets us through that. And we're going to see that in these two psalms that we learn from. So we're going to jump right into Psalm 42. This one has 11 verses, all right? So we're going to read up from the screen. And then we'll talk for a few minutes, and we'll read 43, which has only 5 verses. And then we'll kind of just talk about why it's important to remember what God has done so that we know what God is going to continue to do. All right. So Psalm 42, verse 1 says this: "As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night, I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, 'Where is this God of yours?' My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you, even from the distant Mount Hermon, the source of Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar. I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. But each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me, and through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. O God, my rock, I cry, why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones. They scoff. Where is this God of yours? Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God." So we're reading this psalm, and we see, as we've talked about before, that the Psalms are written by different people. A lot of them are written by David, but we do see them written by different people. This one being written by the sons of Korah, so more than one person. And we also have to remember that these Psalms are songs. They're lifted up to God. So a lot of times we'll see repeated phrases or words, all right? And we see a lot of emotions that are happening in this Psalm. What are some of the emotions that you were feeling as you read this, that maybe the writers were even feeling in that moment? What was it? Yeah, sadness. What else?
Afraid.
Longing. What was it?
A longing or a desire.
A longing, yeah, a desire. What do you say about his heart? That his heart was what? Broken. Yeah. Yeah. Just had to help you a little bit there. Yeah. Broken. That they were heartbroken. When they were feeling discouraged and sad, even heartbroken, we can even feel that way sometimes, right? Have you felt sadness? Have you felt discouraged? Have you felt this breaking in your heart when you see something around you or in the world or in the news, right? There are things that just affect us. But like the sons of Korah, we can honestly talk with God about them. Now, they wrote songs, and there are many artists throughout the centuries that have written down their feelings in songs, whether it's to God or just in general. But maybe you're not necessarily wanting to write a song to him, but you can write a prayer. You can tell God honestly how you are feeling about things that you see, things that you experience, and God will hear them. We can also look back to the happy and encouraging things God has done in our lives in the past, as we can see in verse 4. Verse 4 says this: "Singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration." This is something that they remembered doing, that they remembered singing for joy and giving thanks to God, and that they heard the sound of a great celebration. There were times where things were happy and joyful, and they were able to reflect on that in their times of discouragement, in their times of sadness. We also can look back at what he's done and who he reminds us that he's with us now, like we see in verse 8. Verse 8 says, "But each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me, and through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life." So even in the difficulty, even in the suffering, even in the brokenness, they're able to each day realize that God is pouring his love upon them. And in that response, they sing his songs each night, ending in a way of praise, thanking God and praying to God, who is the one that gives them life. And it's the same thing that we can do each day, thanking God for another day of his breath in our lungs, praising him for the life that he gives us. And so we jump into then Psalm 43, follows right after Psalm 42. It says this, "Declare me innocent, O God. Defend me against these ungodly people. Rescue me from these unjust liars. For you are God, my only safe haven. Why have you tossed me aside? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Send out your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them lead me to your holy mountain, to the place where you live. There I will go to the altar of God, to God, the source of all my joy. I will praise you with my harp, O God, my God. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God." Two separate psalms. They're separated, but yet we see the same phrase. We see how they respond, right? We see it multiple times. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. They're acknowledging the feeling that they have, this discouragement, this sadness, their heart being broken. But yet they say, I will put my hope in God. No matter what I am feeling, I put my hope in him. Why do I put my hope in him? Because of what he has done, because of who he is and how he has been faithful, and he will be faithful forever. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. He is the one that rescues us. So we see what these writers are feeling. They're feeling afraid and lonely, sad, discouraged, heartbroken. And while these are unfortunate feelings that they have and that we have probably had in our life or will have in the future, the psalmist looks forward to worshiping God again. And it's something that we can be reminded of. Yes, Darlene.
We're both silenced by the same.
Yes. Yep. And so we see this as an opportunity for us to remember that their response, even in those feelings, was to worship God. They're looking forward to praising God. And that we can have that as well. That even though we might have the worst day, how many of you guys have had, like, when someone said, "Hey, how's your day been?" And you're like, "It's just the worst." Right? The worst, right? Everybody, yeah, has had the worst kind of day before, right? Yeah. Well, we can still end that day by praising God, right? Because we have his breath in our lungs. We have another day in which we got to walk in his creation and be loved by a loving God. And we also get then the opportunity to start a day anew. And so we have this opportunity to, yeah, we have days that just are awful and we see darkness around us and we feel brokenhearted and discouraged, but yet we still can pray and we can still praise God. Both Psalms remind us no matter how we are feeling, we can be honest with God about our feelings. Psalm 42 is a good reminder of the things God has done to prove himself trustworthy to us so that we can trust him in hard moments of our lives. It's crazy to think that God has to prove himself, but yet he does. God proves himself trustworthy and that we can go to him no matter what we are feeling. We don't always feel that way with every person we meet. There's probably only a few that we would go to with everything that we go through, but yet we can always count on God no matter what. Psalm 43 is a good reminder that no matter what we are feeling now, we can see what God has done for us in the past as happy memories and look forward to good things with God in the future. These are both important. And so when we put these two psalms together, I want us to understand this. When the journey gets tough, the journey of life, and some of you guys have already gone through tough moments, and there's going to be tough moments even ahead. But when you go through this journey and it gets tough and we are desperate for God, He reminds us of His faithfulness in the past, and that gives us hope for our future. He was faithful then, He is faithful now, He will be faithful forever. And there are two tools. Everybody say two tools. Two tools. Say it really fast. Two tools. Yeah. There's two tools, all right, that are a great way to help us, to help you remember who God is and what He has done when you're going through something tough. All right. Even when you're not going through something tough, when you're going through great moments in your life, these are still great tools, all right, that you can use to remember just how God is so good. All right. So the first one is to have what we talked about a couple weeks ago, which is a prayer journal. All right. I challenge you guys to start keeping one. I just got this, so I haven't started using this. I was kind of writing it on like in my notes app or other things because I didn't have anything at the time. But I have one now. This is a great tool for you guys, for me. I'll share of a couple of things that I remember of how good God is in my life. All right. So I'm going to share two stories. Okay. The first one was when I was in elementary school. All right. How many of you guys are in fourth or fifth grade right now? Or were this last year? Raise your hands high. Raise your hands high. All right. Perfect. Okay. How many of you guys have been in fourth or fifth grade before? A lot of you guys. All right. You still have a lot to look forward to, Charlotte. Same with you, Grace. All right. So when I was in late elementary, okay, did you guys do recess? Yeah. Recess was awesome. All right. Because you didn't have to learn anything. You could just run around and scream your head off. Right. So I remember one morning, this was before school started. We were getting ready for school. Kids were being dropped off and everything. And when we got dropped off, we had a little bit of time at the recess. It wasn't considered recess since it was before school. But we were playing. I was playing tag with some friends. If you guys like playing tag around obstacles and different stuff, it's really fun. If you're just chasing in an empty room, it's not as fun. But when you got stuff you got to run through and climb and all that kind of stuff, tag is legit, all right? And there was this ropes kind of obstacle pyramid thing, all right, that you climb, okay? It was like the twin rope tower, and it got pretty tall, all right? I want to say probably 20 feet off the ground. I mean, it was pretty tall, all right? No, it wasn't that tall. That would be insane for an elementary school to have. But it was pretty tall. I mean, I'm 6.5 feet tall, all right? So imagine like three of me, all right, is 20 feet, okay? It's pretty tall, right? And it was safe-ish, right? I mean, if you fell, it would kind of hurt. But what had happened was the recess duty person blew their whistle, okay? So when someone blows their whistle, what is your response? Stop what you're doing, come and get lined up, right? So that's what happens. Whistle blows. Everybody's like, I hear the whistle. It is time for school. I am going to go line up. All right. Which is the right response? Well, as that happens, there's a child up on the top. He's not sliding down. I am at the bottom. I get tagged by a friend. All right. As we're finishing up, I trip and I fall face first. All right. Pretty funny. Right. Seeing a kid fall face first in the bark dust. It's okay. You can laugh. All right. So I went like that, right? Just like that. And then as I am pushing myself up, the kid at the top doesn't realize and jumps. And guess where he lands? Straight on my back. Okay. So then I go thud again. And then guess what happens? Yeah, it was right. What? I did not start bleeding, but you know what I couldn't do? I couldn't move anything. Legit, could not move a single thing in my body. So I did start crying, as would any sane child, all right, who just got a giant kid who would land on them feet first, all right, from like 20 feet in the air, all right? So I'm like laying there, and I honestly, I think it was more as I reflect, the fact that I couldn't do this than the fact that a kid landed on me. I was losing my mind because I couldn't get up. So that wasn't fun, but, so they called an ambulance. I couldn't move anything still. Yeah. Yeah. Well, exactly. Yeah. It's like, hey, go see the nurse. So I couldn't move anything. So they called my mom. They call, 911, like, hey, we got a child who can't move anything. And then they put me, they strapped me up. I will say, I got a ride in a helicopter. It was pretty cool. They life-flighted me to a big hospital. And basically, because the Lord is so good, right? I just had a temporary paralysis. Yeah. There apparently, and again, this is all, the Lord is just good. All right. And I share this because this is just, it's God. All right. And again, this is what we're talking about, what God has done and how good he is. Right. And we can then trust in him because of what he is worthy of our trust. I had temporarily paralysis. I should be paralyzed. I should be. The kid that jumped on me was not a very small kid, all right? He was a big boy, all right? Let's just say that he was like 140 pounds as a fourth grader, okay? He was a big boy, all right? And he felt awful. I mean, it wasn't like he jumped on me on purpose. It was like a perfect imperfect storm where I was falling, trying to get up, and he had already made the decision to jump, and it just happened. Right. And he felt awful. I didn't blame him. It was just an accident. But apparently I have a bone in my back that is different than majority of the population. All right. It's a different shape. What? What's so funny?
Someone said something.
Sorry. Oh, did someone say like scoliosis or something?
Else's?
No, I didn't have somebody else's bone in my back. I just have a different bone than most everybody else. And it's just a different shape. And if it was the normal shape, it would have cracked. And that's what would have caused my paralysis. And so, I have back pain. I've had it for a long time. It's not like always hurting, but it every now and then gets worse. And other times it's fine. But I would rather feel this and be able to do all the things that I've been able to do, the sports, the running, the whatever, the things that I enjoy. I love to play golf. I really enjoyed basketball growing up. Like, I love chasing my kids. Things I wouldn't have been able to do if I was paralyzed. And it was from that moment that I realized that how good God is. And that this is not an ordinary thing. That the Lord had blessed in this situation and a miracle happened. And from that moment on, I had already decided to follow God, but I decided that I was going to live my life for God. And it was from that point that really launched me into knowing that I was going to go into ministry because of how good God is. And so that moment was a turning point in my life. And the helicopter, all I saw was anything that you just by looking up because, No, I didn't pass out. But I was strapped down, so it wasn't like I was looking out the helicopter. If I saw anything out, it was just blue sky, which we can just walk outside and do. So it wasn't that cool. Something that was just like a freak accident, something that, really I should have ended in one way, but didn't because of God. And from that, I made a decision because of how good God is to do something with the rest of my life. Now, no matter what profession you choose, I decided to go into ministry, and I believe God called me into ministry. Not every person is meant to go into vocational ministry, which means work for a church, but every person is called to ministry. And yours, it just looks different, right? It's going to look different, but the method is different. But the purpose is the same, is to make disciples of Jesus, to share the gospel so that people know him and know his kingdom. And that's how good God is. Now, I'll share real quickly this last one, and then we're going to go into our small group time. This one was not that long ago. Some of you guys may have heard it already. A lot of you probably haven't. But when Jenna and I came to Seymour, a crazy thing that we didn't realize, all right? We both went to school in Joplin, Missouri, which is about 8 hours from here. Neither one of us had ever really known about Seymour or this area of the United States as far as like being here physically. Obviously, we knew Indiana existed. We went to school there. She's 2 years of school, below me. At the time when I, yes, I am 29. Okay. So I came to Seymour without knowing that it was Seymour in 2016, so 10 years ago. I came with a friend of mine from school. He lived in this area just south of here in Clarksville. And he was like, hey, you wanna come to my house for spring break? Because I couldn't fly home to Oregon for just like 6 days. It was just too expensive. So I came and stayed with his family. And he was like, hey, there's a basketball tournament and there's this player that's from a school that plays ours. And he's like really good. He's potentially gonna go pro. Do you wanna go watch? And I was like, sure, that sounds awesome. So guess where we go? Seymour High School. Again, never been here before. So that's number one. We'll get to the next one, all right? Jenna, in 2019, worked at Wonder Valley Christian Camp, okay, which is in Salem, Indiana. Through friends, there's some friends of hers that their parents are the managers at the camp. She worked there for a summer, so she was in this area, not necessarily Seymour, but in the area. For a whole summer, serving students, taking pictures, and just helping kids know who Jesus is. And in 2020, we got the opportunity to interview, and then we got accepted. And when we were here within the first week, both realized that we've been in this area before. Me literally in Seymour, Indiana, when I passed the high school, I was like, I have been there. And it was 6 years ago or 4 years ago or whatever it was. And just realizing that God was weaving some things together. And it wasn't any accident that we ended up being here. Leading up to us coming and getting this job, I was supposed to be working at a bank. But with COVID, right, that was right when COVID started, that I was going to be quarantined for 2 weeks if I even just drove through the state of Illinois. I would get back and they'd say, hey, you can't work for 2 weeks. That's 2 weeks of no pay, right? When you're newly married and, you need money, right? So I just quit. I quit on the spot. I was like, Lord, you've got this. A church that we were going to interview with changed the role of which the position was going to be. And trust me, you guys don't want me to be a worship leader. All right. It was a mutual understanding. They changed the position. I don't fit that position. So we backed out. The only place that we had was Seymour Christian Church. And it wasn't means like, hey, if they offer it, we're automatically going to take it. They might not even offer it to us. But we went into an interview weekend not knowing the future. But who does? Who knows the future? None of us. Only God. And God had us in his hands. We left with no home. We were living in a rental that was going to be due up at some point. We had no jobs, neither one of us. Jenna was still in school. I had just quit my job. We didn't have any other churches on the horizon. And we came to Seymour, Indiana. And the Lord called us here. And it was very obvious. And that was all within 2 weeks of being married. God just doing crazy thing after crazy thing. We bought a house. So many things happened. Lived with a family that we had literally just met for a whole month. And just God moving in ways that we didn't expect, yet we should have. Knowing that he is who he is and that he is trustworthy and worthy of our faith. And so that's why this is important, because those are big moments that I can look back on and reflect based off my memory, because there were things, big things that happened. But I don't always remember everything that I pray for or how God has answered those prayers. And these are great ways for us to be able to do that, to be able to read prayers from 3 months ago, 5 months ago, 6 months ago, and see how God answered those. The president of Ozark Christian College, he's been writing prayer journals since he was in college, if not before, and he's in his 60s. And he's able to reflect and see different things that he has gone through or other people in his life have gone through and see how he has grown and how God has just continued to show that he is trustworthy. This is a great way for you to do that. And so we're going to be kind of doing that. I'll answer your guys' questions here in a moment. We're going to be doing that in your guys' small group time. Okay? So you guys are individually going to be able to get a journal. Although if you want to start one at home, you are more than welcome to. I encourage it. But in your small group, you guys are going to get a prayer journal. And as a small group, you guys are going to write your prayer requests, even write the actual prayers if you want. And hopefully over time, as you continue to do this every single week and see those prayer requests, maybe in 6 months, maybe even sooner, you're going to be able to read some of those and see how God answered them, see how God moved through them, or even how God said, hey, not yet. This isn't the right thing yet. How you can move forward. Or maybe it was you saw, hey, not yet, and then 6 months later you saw actually it was a not yet because God had a plan and I just needed to be patient and wait a little bit longer. These are great ways for us to connect with the Lord and know what he is doing. And when we go through a difficult time, to remember how faithful and trustworthy he is, because he is worthy of our trust. He doesn't have to prove himself. He is worthy of it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for, Lord, just how good you are, Lord, that we can trust you with anything and everything. And Lord, you want us to share everything that is going on. We know that you already know it. But God, you want to hear our voice. You want to have a conversation with us, not just us talking at you, but talking with you and listening. And Lord, we are able to go to these Psalms 42 and 43, God, and we recognize the pain that they're in, the discouragement, the sadness, and how their hearts break. But God, we're thankful that they're willing to be vulnerable in that and to share that and write that to you, Lord, so that we can also see how to respond in those moments, to reflect on all the good things that you have done, and God, know that you will continue to do, that we will have hope for the future, God, that you are trustworthy, and you are faithful, and God, we put our hope in you. God, may we reflect on our own lives and how you have moved through them, and how only you could have done what happened. And God, may we then look to you in the future, in the present. And God, rely on your faithfulness, how you pour your love on top of us, and that you deserve our praise. God, as they go into their small groups, may they be able to open themselves in this prayer journal process, Lord. Would you guide them in that? Lord, as they go from this place, would they just be encouraged to continue to do that? Would you keep them safe? Lord, would you continue to just love on them? We thank you for your son, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins, Lord, so that we could have a right relationship with you. It's in his holy name that we pray. Amen. Awesome. Well,